Yeah, he got a nice little fade though. Line up strong.
Nerd Soul.
Late LK at One Youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today? Yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of Dope Folks, right? Yo, we here. We doing it, we having some fun. We've met so many great, fun people, and we are gonna continue this going strong with the gentleman that I have today. To my metaphysical right, I think. Shouts out to Quinn McGowan.
What's going on, y'all? How you doing?
What up, what up? Thank you for coming through. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for, rolling through to the channel, saying what's up to the people. If you could, real quick, tell people what you do.
Okay. I'm Quinn McGowan. I'm the editor-in-chief of Legends Press Comics. We produce comics like Project Wildfire. So that's the thing. That's him. Also our studio partner Hannibal, who's also a writer of the Wildfire comics. The short answer is I'm an evangelist for independent comics and independent storytellers.
Cool. All right, and when you say independent comics and storytellers, what's your definition or your description for what an indie book is? Because everybody has their own levels of what indie means in the comics industry.
Okay, so for me, an independent comic comes from the tradition or the lineage of zine culture, right? Any kid that's ever even remotely dreamed of it, right? Like, I was coming along in the 90s, so for me it was the Image guys, it was the Jim Lees and the Rob Liefelds and the Todd McFarlane. If you've ever taken 8 sheets of paper, folded them over, drawn with pen, tried to squeeze your lettering into your word bubbles after the fact, run it off on a Xerox and staple them joints together, you made an indie comic. The issue, right? Then there are like the barriers to entry and the parameters, okay? So the parameter for an indie creator is really the same parameters for anybody in the what we'll call the mainstream end of things, right?
Okay.
And that's consistency. Whenever I talk to folks, I always say, I challenge you to think of 5 compelling or impactful Superman stories. Continuity. I'm not talking about All-Star Superman and, World, whatever. I'm not talking about those one-offs. Name 5 joints. I'll wait. Can't. Mm. So, yeah, with Superman, you can't think of a 5 compelling stories because his job is to be there, right? Like that's almost more important than anything else is to have the character be available. And so what I mean by that is once you decide that you're going to staple those pieces of paper together, you're really an independent creator when you commit yourself to consistency, right? First book is never going to be great. Go back and look at Action Comics #1. Go back and look at the first appearance of Batman with them tiny little purple gloves on. You understand what I'm saying? And not necessarily.
Yeah.
You feel me? But if you keep going, that's really the parameter. So like I think when you hear the different definitions, that's really people putting the merit of how much effort they put in or how much work they consider themselves doing, right? But from the moment you decide that you want to tell a story, then you're an independent creator.
All right, good. Now, since you have a character right beside you, you have the banner behind you, for people that are just brand new to you and your Project Wildfire, or your comic Project Wildfire, what is Project Wildfire?
Project Wildfire is basically the story of an unlikely hero, all right? Shelby City, a city that's not too different from the city of Memphis, has a secret government organization, as one does, working. And they were doing experiments with military personnel, but an unexpected explosion in one of their facilities looses a contagion on the city. in order. The only candidate is kind of this kid that was participating in what he thought was a sleep experiment. So he's the only person that survives these experiments. He's the only person available. He is not the first choice. He's not the fifth choice. He's not the 10th choice. He's a snarky teen from the center of town, and he doesn't put up with the guff of these largely out of town folks trying to tell him how he should behave. Along with this secret organization, have to work together to keep this, this, for lack of a better way of putting it, being timely, keep this pandemic from getting outside of the city's limits. And so a lot of the work is just him trying to keep things contained in the city and deal with this military organization while also working with the namesake of the city and one of the richest people in the world, who is an adventurer who just wants to be involved. So as if things weren't complicated enough.
That looks like it presents some very interesting issues. Now, when it comes to kind of making Project Wildfire, because you've been doing it for some time. And you know, this isn't like brand new to you. When it comes to making Project Wildfire, the ins, the outs, from kind of like conception to posting it online, for people that are like either thinking about doing it, what's the real process of like putting Project Wildfire out?
Okay, so the process of getting it out is just about sticking to a schedule, right? Like the way that we release the books is based heavily in how I got started. And full disclosure, when I started, didn't have any idea what I was doing. And it's really a situation of a person who didn't know enough to know how much trouble he was creating for himself. So I was already committed and kind of in the game by the time I realized, oh, you can't do what you're doing. So I used to just release drawings and like post one page adventures for Wildfire, right? Like creating the character is a lot like, for me, that process was a lot like being a kid in a sandbox, right? Like if we're being real, like elements of what Monster Watch, the organization that he works for, elements of what that is really just G.I. Joe, right? And then of course, he's a guy in a cape with a letter on his chest, you know? So like those parts were kind of throwing things together. So I would do these one page adventures and I would do them on Wednesdays and I called them Wildfire Wednesday. So in keeping with that tradition, part of my production process is when I'm in the early stages of doing the line art, we release those. We hire the letterer and we release just black and white line art every Wednesday of the current story. And then once we release the line art, we take it all down. And by then I'm already deep into the coloring process. I have a flatter, who's, part of Legends Press named Cyril Brown. He flattens out the colors for me and then I finish the color process. And then we add the lettering layers back on top and then we, send them off to 133 printing. And that's how the books are made. And then we
all right, cool. Shouts to 133.
Reach out to different. Oh yeah, for sure. Jason Reeves is a good people. And then we reach out. We got deals going with our own LCSs, and we reach out and connect with people according to region and kind of who we know and trying to make strides with.
All right, cool.
And we just go. And it's kind of a hip hop master P kind of process with the distribution, but yeah.
That's what's up. There is one character I wanted to ask you, or I guess maybe not a character, more of a species that I wanted to ask you about that I thought was interesting is the Maltok. Okay. If you could explain the Maltok, describe the Maltok when it comes to your boy that's just trying to help folks out.
Okay, Maltok is, it's a collective species, right? Like the term Maltok is both singular and plural. Okay. They don't really do identity. They exist exclusively in dark matter. And ironically, issue 10 that we're currently producing introduces a character called the Smoking Mirror, and later on it's going to heavily feature the Malta, but it lives in dark matter, and there is a event horizon in the story that hasn't been explored yet, where man achieves time travel or multi-dimensional travel under the guise of time travel, and that movement is problematic for Malta. In order to multiverses, you have to cross through dark matter, and that disturbs them. It's kind of like how it's like water pollution, but in space, right?
Okay. So it's kind of like
it's off.
Kind of like when you're a kid walking through somebody's backyard for a shortcut. It's kind of like, right. You know, it's like, hey, look, hey, right. Get off my lawn.
Right. But also, even worse, because what if when you come out to tell that kid to get off your lawn, some of their DNA gets into yours? So,
okay.
Maltok gets trapped into three-dimensional space because of that pollution, that residue, human beings transversing through space. That guy gets it. the moving through space-time to move through a multiverse, right? That residue, that DNA, up to a Maltok, which is why they look like brains with eyeballs, because they're literally getting up in the residue of human existence. So that's how they manifest. The most primordial thing that a human is would be something that came out of water. So it has those tentacles almost like an octopus or a jellyfish. And then, you know, what gets us through space-time is our brains, right? Sense of vision. So those are the things that it ends up with. So it's actually a really tortured existence. And they're very unhappy about it. And they're probably going to do something about it here pretty soon.
All right, cool. Now, on the flip side, when it comes to just handling stories in general, drawing in general, what's something that you try to make sure that you kind of like put your stamp on, something that unique to you, whether it's like buildings or a way a certain character is, or is it a certain character? Is there something that you kind of like impress yourself upon when it comes to the story of Project Wildfire?
With Wildfire, just in general, normalizing my culture, right? I've talked before about, if you think back, you know, because I'm pretty sure all of us have seen Black Panther. There's a louder reaction for when Killmonger says, "Hey, Auntie," than there is for any action set piece in the movie. There's more of a visceral feeling when he like, "Nah, that challenge, that's over." When he come like that, that's us being seen. We respond to being seen because if I want to see, yeah, exactly. If I want to see a black dude fly, I could watch basketball game. If I wanted to see a black dude crash through a wall, I could watch football or I could watch MMA. You understand? So the physical expression for us was really at first the only thing we were allowed, right?
Okay.
So to see something look like my cousin, to see something that look like my people, just doing my people is what I try to do. So one of the things that Hannibal and I have done just on the quiet, and maybe I should do this as a way to start educating my audience for things to look for. Hannibal and I have created a treatise on income inequity through chicken sandwiches. What do you mean by that, Quinn McGowan? Well, if you look through the pages of Project Wildfire, you'll notice that they like to stop at eateries. Wildfire is partially famous for being a superhero that likes to eat. There's an establishment called Roberts, and in issue 6, the beginning of the Street Justice arc, which came out in 2017, Roberts had a chicken sandwich. Now, if you look closely at the design of Roberts, the restaurant, it's designed to look like Popeye's. So in 2017, I gave a shout out to the chicken sandwich. And if you look in the window, you'll see on like page 3 that there's a little sign in the window that says chicken sandwich sold out. So in 2017, I was on top of that. But also the income that you in the story of the character, he's a security guard. He comes from one of the rougher areas of Shelby City. And you see him sitting in his car crying, eating a McDowell's chicken sandwich. So if you did a real world conversion on that, that's kind of a statement on the hood. If you ever been real poor on the block, and if you go on for lunch, you probably don't get that dollar chicken sandwich, that spicy McChicken joint, right? But if you got a decent job, you got a little bread, you might be able to go and get you a Popeye's chicken sandwich or a Chick-fil-A joint. Like your income inequity, you know, Zaxby's money is different than hot and spicy McChicken money. So,
oh man, that Zaxby's boy. Zaxby's gonna put you back a little bit. That McChicken though.
That's that per diem food. See, you don't mess with Zaxby's on the regular. You gotta get per diem. You gotta get treated to Zaxby's. I try not to do that on my own lunch. Not on my own dime. But yeah, so like those are the things that I try to do when I draw. I try to be really expressive and I try to draw characters in the middle of doing things that are more cultural, right? Like okay. Just the way you hold the phone, taking the selfie, looks, gestures. Like, you know, like my mom had a look from the choir stand that can make me sit perfectly still in church. And I try to get those across. I try to normalize the culture that I grew up in, right? Because we're all kind of indoctrinated to a culture, right? Like, we all kind of have courtship of Eddie's father vibe, even if we don't intend to, right? Like that's something that you're given as a part of just living here. So I try to normalize what I grew up with and try to honor the folks that were important to me. I mean, the character Wildfire is named after my granddad. So that's why I try to reach artistic. And you know, I'm always looking up to guys like Sean Martinborough or Mashendo Kumba or even Jason Reeves. Like I tell him all the time, like, you know what I'm saying? That's our Frank White. Like cats we don't do enough big enough of ourselves, but like looking into our own culture to reflect ourselves is what I try to do. Is the short answer. So
all right, cool. And speaking of that, I'm going to give some shout outs myself. We got shout out to let's see, For All Nerds. Big shout out to Black Tribbles. Big shout out to the Blur Girl. Big shout out to Blurtish. 133 Art doing their thing. Double Toasted. Big shout out to dang, man, I know there's some people I'm missing. Big shout out to Chuck Collins. Are they doing this thing on Bounce? Yeah, you know, shout outs.
That's crazy. I talked to Chuck like 15 minutes before we got on here.
Oh, word. Yeah, dude is dope.
Yeah, we're up to some mischief soon. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, I guess before we get out of here, I want to kind of talk to you, see if I can get you to speak to some of the stuff that you have coming. Some of the stuff that you have, like, you know, in the works, maybe, that you can talk about without spoiling. Okay. That you're working on, that you're about to drop for the people.
All right. So, so a couple of things, right? Like, when it comes to Project Wildfire, I always say that he is my love letter to comics when I was growing up. Like the 2 year old me that was in the theater when Superman came out, or you know, like the 12 or 14 year old me that went to see Batman. Like that's my love letter to that. Some of the stuff that I'm working on now is more in line with the kinds of stories that I want to tell. One of those projects that will probably be coming out soon is something called Restless. And it's it's a bit of an involved thing, but it's basically an alternate history in which escaped Africans and Native Americans decide to work together, and they turn back the tide of colonialism and forever change the shape of Turtle Island to the point where it's not even called America. It's a super involved turn that it's that turn or that ultimate timeline is actually going to be the spawning of a section of the multiverse that's created in Wildfire, where we get to tell vastly different kinds of stories. Another story that I'm working on is deep breath, a post-apocalyptic hip hop high fantasy graphic album called The Son of the Iron Mike. It takes place 500 years in the future. Hip hop has risen and fallen as a dominant world culture and its own form of martial arts. So much so that the way Kung Fu has chi, in hip hop there is flow. And if you develop a powerful flow, you can create a beat with the internal sounds of your body. You can tame giant beasts and you can make things that you say when you rap come to life.
Nice. All right. Cool. That's what's up.
A couple of things. And then, like I said, me and Chuck and actually Jason from 133 Art, we're going to be working around on a project that's kind of comedy, something almost in the vein of what Chuck does with Bounce, but also serialized. So, yeah, we'll be toying around with that and probably making some threats regarding that as well.
Some threats regarding that. Oh, man. Well, of course, thank you for your time for rolling through. Before you get out of here, where can the wonderful people find you? And also, where can they read Project Wildfire?
Okay. So, you can find me and my portfolio and Project Wildfire on both my site, legendspresspublishing.com. And you can also find us every week at operative.net as part of the Operative Network. We're also available through Tapas and a couple of other places. And I'm always dropping new pages every Wednesday that are totally free. So in spite of current circumstances, even though you cannot go to the comic book shop, you can always go to operative.net or you can always go to legendspresspublishing.com every Wednesday and pick up something new.
Cool. That's what's up. Well, before we get out of here, any more last minute shout outs? Any words of wisdom for the awesome people out there?
So shout out to Sean Martinborough, who just, for no other reason than I dig him and I think he's super dope. Shout out to Dennis Cowan. Dennis Cowan is like, that's somebody who set me on my path. My old man came in with a Ebony or a Jet with a Doers ad, and your man was sitting up there with the high top fade looking suave with Batman in the background. My old man was like, you could do that. And like, once he said that, it was over with. It was a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything else in my life was set on that path. So shout out to him. And shout out to him for drawing the question. Like, he was one of the first dudes to really like lay out cinematic stuff. This is what happens when you make me nerd out on artists. Shout out to Ron Wembley, who is just super dope. Yeah. You've never read his article in the NIB about his struggles with trying to color black characters in comics, like just arguments that he had with Marvel Comics about coloring Storm or certain skin tone and how they would always try to lighten them up and stuff. Wow. It's a site called the NIB. He wrote this article. If you go to the NIB and type in Ron Wimpy, he did the whole graphic piece. Like, it's not just he wrote an article, but he wrote and drew an article. So your man is wild. Wow. Chris Katz is crazy. So like, just shout out to like those cats are like OGs. Shindo
Kumar. And speaking of Chris and Katz, Blurtish has a copy that I think I'm gonna be able to pick up.
Yeah, you need to get your hands on that.
Because I think they got one copy left.
Word tale around the campfire, they working on a movie of that. So
I'm not mad at that.
I'm super excited about this. So just shout out to all the black artists. Shout out to Jay Reed. That's just somebody like in my graduating class that I I'm always rooting for. He's super dope. Shout out to Nicholas A. Draper Ivy. He can draw. He's super dope. He did the cover to the soundtrack for Black Panther. Let's not leave that out.
Let's not forget that.
And shout out Anthony Piper, because truly. Like, it's so many of us
that are so many of us grinding and shining.
Like crazy. Shout out to Parasite Lee, one of the dopest color artists I know. You playing a dangerous game saying any extra shout outs.
Nah, because once you start bringing up people that like I see, but I don't like get a chance to like really digest their work all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like Anthony Piper, because last time I talked to him, he was still super hush hush on the Trilly animated series stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, look, you know what I'm saying? Look, between you and me, it's going down.
right. Oh, shout out to Sebastian Jones. Sebastian Jones is my blow. Things. That's my guy. Like that was one of the first dudes that was just like super supportive,
random.
Like I didn't know him, and he was just like, you know, hello, you know, you doing like that guy is a secret agent in comics. Like the dude, that's the James Bond of the game, man. I mess with him. That's my guy.
What up? Yeah. Well, guys, there you have it. Check out, you know, of course, Project Wildfire. Check out Quinn McGowan. He's down to talk, you know, comics, art, you know, even politics or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Holla at him. So.
It's one other thing. So, I was planning a panel. Like, it's like I'm telling you something, but I can't tell you everything. I was planning a panel, and because of the circumstances, of course, we're probably going to have to be looking at a digital version of that. It's going to be an all-star panel, and you should probably look out for that, and you should probably participate in it, but that's the thing for another time. Now,
I holler. Oh, yeah, because I think I know what you're talking about.
The thing.
The thing that, like...
Did you get that thing I sent you?
It's not all the way super-duper ready, but it's almost there.
Yeah. Did you get
like that? Maybe like another week?
Another week, 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. And then
soon. Yeah.
Soon. Soon and very soon.
Yeah.
Oh man. So guys, thanks for hanging with us. Holler at us, we're gonna holler at you down in the comments. And until next time, thank you for chilling. Thank you for hanging. And as always, from us to you, we're just saying, peace.